Verse number 16, and I want to continue preaching this morning on this thing of eyes. We talked about last week and began talking about last week this issue of our eyes. Last week we talked about lifted eyes, and we discussed how that Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the heel of the Lord and the blessings of God. Lot lifted up his eyes to the well-watered plains of Sodom and saw the appeal of the world and the flesh and the devil. We discussed how that the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell and torments and the flame. We talked about those lifted eyes. And so this morning, we're going to continue on this thing of eyes, and how long that we'll preach on eyes is just up to the Lord, how long He keeps giving something on eyes. I'm studying and trying to be obedient to the Lord. Every now and again I begin a sermon series and know how many sermons I'm going to preach in the series, but that's not normal. Most of the time I start off like Abraham, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, knowing not whither I go. And that's kind of where I am with this thing on eyes. I don't know, this may be the last one, and then again there may be five more. There's a lot in the Bible that deals with our eyes. And somewhere or another, it would appear that the Lord would have to have us directed into 1 John 1 and 14, or 2 and 14, is it? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. I don't see how we can avoid that as we're dealing with eyes, but that's not for this morning. But this morning I want to deal with our eyes out of Lamentations. When you find your place in the Word of the Lord, stand with us and we'll read the Word of God together. Lamentations, right after the prophecy of Jeremiah. What happens in the book of Jeremiah is that Jeremiah prophesies the judgment of God. What happens in the book of Lamentations is that God's prophecies of judgment come to pass, and the prophet Jeremiah does not revel in the judgment of the Lord. He does not enjoy it. He doesn't take any pleasure in the fact that God has judged the people, but rather he laments it. He weeps over the judgment of the Lord. Lamentations chapter 1, I want to read one verse in verse number 16. The word of the Lord says, "For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate, because the enemy prevailed." Notice again the beginning of the verse. "For these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate, because the enemy prevailed." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Last week we began preaching about eyes, and we talked about lifting eyes or lifted eyes. Today, on this week, we celebrate the independence of our nation. I want to preach to you about weeping eyes or dry eyes. We're living in a generation where that there's a lot of people has a dry eye. Matter of fact, they sell a lot of medication for that, and people put drops in their eyes to cure the dry eye. But isn't it amazing how dry-eyed that the church generation that we're living in has become? But the prophet here, the Bible says, that the prophet here says, "I weep, mine eye runneth down with water." And I want to preach about weeping eyes or dry eyes. Now, weeping is associated with a tender or a broken heart. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Word of God commands us to be tender-hearted. Amen. Ephesians 4 and 32, "And be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Isn't it amazing how tender-hearted that children are? I mean, we don't all start out hard-hearted. I mean, none of us did start out hard-hearted. And none of us started out, my friend, with a dry eye. Every child that's ever born into this world has a soft heart in the beginning, and they have the tendency to cry quite often in the beginning. Matter of fact, that may be part of what's wrong with all of us. Our parents got tired of listening to all that crying, and after a while they said things like, "If you don't quit that crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about." And so it tends to, as time goes by and life occurs, it tends to cause us to become a bit more hard-hearted. But it's no wonder then if the Lord commanded us to be tender-hearted, that Jesus Jesus would say, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein." From Mark chapter 10 and verse 15, He's commanded us to humble ourselves and become tender like a child. I'm going to tell you, listen, friend, a fellow doesn't have to weep and he doesn't have to cry to get saved, but I'm always glad to see somebody that's broken enough that it causes tears to come out of their eyes when they have a desire to get saved. I mean, if you're going to get born again, you'll have to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And I like to see a man that's broken down enough that he's weeping his way to the Lord. Amen to that. And so if we're going to get saved, if we're going to see the kingdom of God, we'll have to become tender-hearted. We have to become, my friend, humble as a little child. That is, we'll have to have a receptive heart to the things of God. Children easily experience trust. They easily experience love. They easily experience devotion. They easily experience remorse. And these, my friends, are things that come hard to grown people as they get hard-hearted and dried. Sometimes it's hard for grown people. And my friend, the older that you get, to experience these things of love and trust and devotion. And my friend, that these experiences and these emotions, hey, and we have a tendency to try to push aside our remorse and claim ourselves to be right even when we know we're wrong. Oh, but if we'll humble ourselves, becoming little children, and my friend, accept the truths of God, and hey, turn from our sin and turn to what's right, and to weep our way to the Lord, God will reward that as He's promised He'd do in His Word. And so we have to humble ourselves, becoming little children. And we have a tendency as we age to get hard. Children are quiet, cry quickly. But adults think it shows too much weakness to cry or to weep. My friend, but hey, it's time to weep again. Our text shows us the weeping prophet Jeremiah as his heart breaks for the desolation of his nation on this 4th of July weekend. I too, friend, though I'm very thankful for the freedom we enjoy and the heritage of our nation, I weep for the condition of the country, my friend, that we live in, and the sin that rages on every side. I want to preach again. I say this morning on weeping eyes or dry eyes. And I want to say, first of all, we should have weeping eyes for our country in this Independence Day weekend. We should open our eyes to the reality, friend, that we're living in a great nation, but we're also living in a wicked nation. I mean, friend, this is the weekend of our 233rd birthday. And America is a great country, but sadly, we're a country that's in great trouble, friend. I mean, hey, when I look at America, I see a nation much like that of Nineveh that God sends Jonah to preach to and to cry 40 days and the Lord will overthrow it. We're a great nation, but sadly America is not a godly nation. And it's time for the remnant of those of us that know our Lord, friend. It's time for us to weep for our country and to call upon God for His help. In Jeremiah 9:1, the prophet said of his nation, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." We need to weep, friend, for our country. I want to say we need to weep for our country's welfare. I don't know if all of you are really in tune or understand or not, and I don't know that any of us really all together understand, but you, friend, we are in an economic mess. I mean, our nation is in a mess. It's just a plain fact of the matter. We spend money we don't have to buy stuff we don't need, to impress people we don't like, and we can't pay it all back. Amen. We're in a mess as a government, broke. I'm talking about broke, buddy. And we're broke as individuals. People are broke, my friend, as families. Businesses are headed into and are in bankruptcy. I mean, people on every side can't afford to keep their homes, to maintain their homes. And we're in serious trouble with our wealth. There was a time, my friend, this war raged overseas. But here in the southeast, the church houses are full. But hey, friend, the last 10 years, the last 20 years, we've seen war and we've seen war. And we've seen war, but the church houses are not full. And God's people are not praying. I'm going to tell you the only thing that America understands is money. And that it's the only way God can get her attention. I'm not a prophet. I don't claim to be. I'm just telling you that I know people and I understand people, and I see their love of money and the greed that's on every side. And hey, friend, bankruptcy may be the only thing that gets this country's attention. And it's time we weep again for the welfare of this nation, friend. Amen. We're on safe economic ground, and we'd be wise as Christians to follow the Bible for our personal finances. And that means tithes and offerings are God's first part. But it means more than just that. It means following God's order of finance for the home. That is, I don't say it really pretty simple. Don't spend more money than you make. Don't borrow today for what you can wait for tomorrow. Amen. That's right. Be frugal. Save for the rainy day. Go thou, slugger, into the air and consider her ways. Consider the ant's work ethic. And for the man that won't work, neither should he eat. I mean, consider habits. Consider even the nature that God has put around us. The squirrel, my friend, listen. They tell me a squirrel's brain is about the size of an acorn. And yet he's got sense enough to put acorns in a tree. And my friend, to have something to eat when the wintertime comes. And here we are, my friend. Got heads so big it takes $50 to buy a hat to put on them. And we won't put up for the rainy day in the wintertime. I mean, it's time, hey, friend, that we follow God's prescription for our finances. And got back to praying again for the welfare of our nation and our neighbors. Amen. Weeping eyes. We need to have weeping eyes for our country concerning its welfare. We need to weep not only for America's welfare, we need to weep for America's warfare. Sometimes it's easy for me, and I imagine you as well, to go about your busy days and busy lives and forget about the fact that there's soldiers falling daily. So is my friend to protect freedom across this world. And we need to pray. We need to weep over our warfare. And my friend, hey, many of those soldiers, many of those men wearing the uniform are lost men. Many of them, friend, I will leave the battlefield to go to hell. And we need to weep over the warfare of this nation. We owe it to them to pray for them, friend. We owe it to them to pray for them. We need to humble ourselves before God on their behalf. We need to weep over our nation, over America's welfare, America's warfare. If there's anything that ought to cause us to weep, it ought to be over America's wickedness. I mean, friend, we're living in a generation of great wickedness. This nation's filled with filth and dirtiness and wickedness on every side. I'm telling you, hey, America's dirty in the pulpit. America's dirty in the pews. America's dirty at the White House. It's dirty in the Congress. It's dirty in the state capitol. I see it rains from penthouse to skid row. It rains in the city, in the suburbs, and in the rural areas. I tell you, wickedness abounds. Wickedness abounds. Oh, my friend, hey, how the Bible said in Psalm 33 and 12, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. I tell you, we need to turn back to God again if we want to be blessed. Proverbs 13 and 14 and 34 says, righteousness, my friend, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Oh God, give us weeping eyes in this generation by the wickedness of the nation we live in.
Amen.
We're living in a wicked society, friend, in a wicked society. It's so wicked that most of us would be afraid, my friend, to live in a neighborhood with neighbors around us. And my friend, folks close by, and to let our children play without us watching them every moment of the day. When I was just a lad of a boy, I mean, younger than my oldest girl, I'd jump on the bicycle and ride the town if you wanted to. And outside of being concerned, the car might run over us if we're so stupid as to stay in the road while the car's coming by. Our mom and dad wasn't worried about nothing. I mean, they didn't worry about somebody getting us. If anything, they'd have got us and knew who we were and brought us home. I mean, hey, but now if you can't see your child every moment of the day, it scares you to death. We're living in a generation, and listen, some of that's paranoia, but some of it's real, buddy. We're living in a nation of a lot of sin. We're living in a nation, I feel, of a lot of perversion. We're living in a society, friend, where filth and the devilment abounds. And it ought to break our hearts. Amen. I'm talking about we're living in a society, my friend, where sin is the norm. It's not the exception. Where the average home is so full of the devil. I mean, hey, friend, used to you worried about your kids being around their own crowd. Now, that's your family and that's my family. Our extended families. Listen, in your immediate household, you might keep things straight, but you know as well as I do, there's nobody in this building that doesn't have brother, sister, cousin, son, brother, aunt, or uncle that you can't let your children around. I mean, that's just a fact. I got about as, listen, I don't want to brag, but I'll be honest, I got about as good a family as any human on the planet does, and God be the glory. I'm thankful for that. I didn't do anything to earn that, but God's been gracious on me to give me a good family. But even in my family, there's family members, my friend, that I don't want my children to be around because of their behavior. I tell you, it ought to bother us that the wickedness of our nation is like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, like it was in the days of Noah, and wickedness abounds. And that ought to bring a tear to our eyes. I'll tell you, the inspiration's put out a song back in the mid-80s that said this nation has been too long on vacation. We've taken for granted God's blessings on us. We've been laughing, we've been sleeping, and we've been praying. It's not too late. Let's go back home. It's praying time. It's praying time. It's weeping time. Can we not see what a shape this country's in? We've come so far away. Oh, God, help us today. And it's not too late. Let's come back home. It's praying time. I'll tell you, it's time to weep over our country and this day we're living in. 2 Chronicles 7:14 has said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. And we're in need of a land healing. And it'll start when Christians begin to weep. It'll start when Christians begin to weep. Weeping eyes. We need to weep, my friend, have weeping eyes over our country. We need to have weeping eyes for our companions. For our companions. Now, friend, you ought to pray for your spouse. You ought to pray for your spouse. I mean, your wife or your husband, you ought to pray for them. I mean, hey, sometimes we're guilty of praying for everybody else and not praying for a spouse. Isn't it amazing how sometimes everybody else listens, especially being a preacher, I know how this goes. Everybody come to me and say, preacher, won't you pray for me? Won't you pray for me? For my household, for my children? Won't you pray for my uncle? I just stubbed his toe and my aunt has got the gout and all this stuff. I mean, so-and-so had a headache last week. I want you to pray for them. And I'm praying for everybody. And I pray for everybody else. But if you're not careful, sometimes you get mindless and careless and fail to weep for your companion. But I'm going to tell you what, pray every day. And you ought to pray for your spouse. Amen. When's the last time, sir, that you prayed, earnestly prayed, wept and sobbed God on behalf of your wife? When's the last time, ma'am, that while your husband is called to work, you found your quiet place and a still spot and said, God, help him today. Help him and keep him from temptation. Help him and keep him, Lord,
One of the saddest passages of Scripture in all the Bible was when Ezekiel's wife died. But after Ezekiel's wife died, God said, I'm going to take your tear ducts away. And He did. God dried up Ezekiel's tear ducts. And he couldn't even cry. And God took away from Ezekiel his ability to mourn for his wife that had passed away, in order to illustrate how God had lost Israel for their sin and could not mourn His righteous judgment. I tell you, we should weep for our companions. Be thankful you can. Be glad you can weep for your spouse. I'm going to tell you something. Just studying this this weekend and to try to prepare this message, I had to do some repenting and ask God to forgive me for not praying for my wife like I ought to. I had to ask God to have mercy on me for not praying for her as I should. Oh, but God help us. We ought to have weeping eyes for our companions. We should weep for our companion and ask for the strength of their body. I mean, friend, you ought to ask God to strengthen them health and their health. You ought to ask God to strengthen their bodies. I ask God to give health to my wife. I mean, we're expecting our third young one, I guess maybe our fourth, and one of them never made it into this world. But my friend, because of that, I may be praying for the strength of her body is more on my mind these days than it normally would be, but we should always seek and pray to God for the health of our companion. I mean, Ephesians 5:28-29 says, to love your wife as your own body and nourish her as you would your own body. I mean, you ought to pray, friend. You ought to pray for your companion for the strength of their bodies.
Ma'am, when's the last time you prayed and told God how much you appreciated Him giving you a strong husband that would get up early in the morning and go to work? And if it took at work and his back sore, maybe working, my friend, and with the pain of his back and the strength of his hands, or maybe wearing down in the weariness of his mind, he's sacrificing himself to take care of you and your family. And you ought to come to God in prayer and care for Him. Do you have any idea, sir, ma'am, how much a temptation and how much flesh and how much evil comes against your spouse every day? You ought to pray for their strength. You ought to pray their body would be strong. You ought to pray for their health and well-being.
Oh, weep for our companion for the strength of their body. Oh, to weep for your companion when it comes to spiritual blessings. I mean, it ought to be your daily desire that God would do something special for your spouse. Amen. That's right. I want God to touch my wife. I want the Lord to hit my family. I get excited when she testifies. After red, I cranks my tractor. Some of you might say something deeper, more spiritual, or might even say prettier words. But it don't do for me when you testify what it does for me when she testifies. I mean, that's just a fact of the matter. Brother John, I love you. I like to hear you testify. But you can't testify like my wife testifies. And it might not do for you what it does for me. But she's not your wife. She's my wife. And I want God to help her. I want the Holy Ghost to be real to her. I want the power of God to be in her. Spiritual blessings.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen. It helps me to see her get blessed. I mean, I ask God before the meeting. I pray for everybody. I pray the Lord help everybody in the meeting, but I almost always pray specifically for my wife. That God would help her in each meeting and touch her. And I get disappointed when it doesn't happen that way. I do. I'll just be honest with you. It worries me. I want God to be good to my companion. I want God to help my wife. And I know she prays for me. Listen, I pray God to help her when I preach. I get concerned, Brother Scott. I get concerned sometimes. She's heard me preach so much. And she's heard all my sermons so many times. And my preaching will become stale. And she can't get blessed for me. Honey, I pray that God will help me minister to you when I preach. I mean, I don't want to just just minister to everybody else and leave the person in the world I love the most out. I want to minister to my spouse when I preach. I mean, you ought to pray here in the church. You ought to pray for your companion's spiritual blessings. You ought to ask God to touch them. When's the last time, ma'am, that you prayed God to get on your husband real good? When's the last time you asked God to let him shout? And you asked God to help him pray? And you asked God to help him worship? And then when he did, you grabbed your handkerchief out and waved it at him and said, "Shout on, honey." Cheer them on. You ought to encourage them in the Lord. You ought to pray for their spiritual blessings. Amen.
That's right.
That's right, ain't it? Oh, God, help us. Give us weeping eyes. Give us weeping eyes for our country. Oh, give us weeping eyes for our companions. I want to say we need weeping eyes and not dry eyes when it comes to our children. This morning, I mean, Abraham prayed for both Ishmael and Isaac. One was a child of promise. Another was a product of Abraham's lack of patience. But he still prayed for both of his children. How we need to weep over our children again. Oh, God, help us. How that we live in such a generation. And people are so careless when it comes to their children. And so blinded and so unconcerned that all that may be standing between you and mama and daddy, all that may be standing between you and your child going to hell, maybe your tears. And it's time we weep for our children again.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my, you need to weep for their salvation. You need to weep for your children's salvation. Never should a day go by that we don't weep over the eternity of our children. Oh my God, forgive me. Oh, there's been days, not many of them. I got to be honest, there hadn't been many of them. But there's been days that I've let days go by and time go by and I've not even whispered a prayer for the salvation of my young ones. Now, Brother Bob, God's been gracious enough to step in even in the midst of my carelessness sometimes. And he's saved my oldest girl. But I'm trying to be faithful. And I'm going to make a commitment to be more faithful. To weep for my children. Amen. Listen, friend. I tell you what it'll do if you'll weep for your young ones. You've got several of them. If you'll weep for your young ones, one of them will get saved. And you know what they'll do? They'll start praying for the rest of them. Amen. I mean, we have prayer nights. They don't let that go by, even if I'm careless. Even if I forget to pray. They don't let that go by. The little grace goes saying, "Lord, when it comes your perfect time, save Katie. Our Lord, help her get saved." I'll tell you, they'll pray for one another. Help y'all weep over your children. Amen. Bless his name. Now listen, I'm a pretty tough guy, especially my friend. I'm pretty strong emotionally and ain't a whole lot. My friend shakes my foundation. Don't you know me a long time know that I don't get real nervous and scared and upset about stuff very often. But I can just think, I mean, just cross my mind the potential of one of my sweet little girls are going to hell. And it shakes me in my foundation. I gotta be honest. I mean, I fall apart. I couldn't stand it, Brother Matthew. I couldn't take it to know that one of my little girls is going to hell. And I weep that God would save my children and help my young ones. Amen. Acts 2 and 39, this promise is unto you. I teach my little girls this verse, they can quote it. Acts 2 and 39, this promise is unto you and to your children and to them which are afar off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. But if they know that verse, and that's special to me. God didn't just save me so I could go to heaven, but the promise is for my girls. Salvation's got Anna Grace's name on it. It's got Kayla Lee's name on it. It's got your children's name on it. Oh, bless his name. I tell you, leave for their salvation, friend. Amen. Well, well. You ought to weep for their salvation. I want to say you ought to weep for them to be spirit-filled.
Amen.
It ought not just be your desire that your young ones didn't go to hell. You ought to have a desire for them to be filled with the Spirit of God. I mean, I don't just want my young ones to be saved. I want them to know what it is to know the joy of the Holy Ghost that's stirring in their hearts. I want them to know what old time religion is. I want them to be able to shout, my friend. Hey, I do. I pray for my young ones to have a shout. I pray every day that my young ones will be able to shout. I want to be able to shout regular. Hey, amen. I want to be able to shout right. Hey, I'm talking about old fashioned worship. I want to enjoy Jesus. Brother, the other night we got talking about baptism and how good it is to be saved and what it means to be baptized. And Caitlin went to sleep on me and Grace while we was having a Bible lesson. She was pretty wore out and it was already 11 o'clock. But Grace and I had a time and I prayed and she prayed. And she prayed a hole in the sky, Brother Matthew. She began weeping. She said, Lord, I'm so glad you saved me. And it sure is good to feel you inside. And Lord, I'm glad you saved my daddy and my mama. And I'm glad we got a blessed King James Bible to read and to pray. And a church to attend. And I thought, my Lord, I've heard a lot of preachers didn't pray that good. I tell you, I want my youngest to be Spirit-filled. I want them to know Jesus in the old-time way. It's time we wait for our children to be filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Isaiah 44:3 said, I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I'll pour my blessing upon thy seed, and my spirit upon thine offspring. That's what I want for my youngins. We ought to weep for their salvation, weep for them to be spirit filled. We ought to weep for their safety. It's a miracle of God that children ever grow up to be grown-ups. It's a miracle of God they ever make it through childhood. Did you ever watch them, even when they're toddlers staggering around the house? Everything around there is an instrument of death. You just know at any moment they're going to trip and fall, and they do that about 600,000 times a day. And they trip and fall, and you just know they're going to fall and hit some debit through the eye and kill them. You just know they're going to bust their head open on something. I mean, set on pins and needles. Of course, you know how it is. The first one, you're especially that way with. You figure for sure they're glass and going to bust up at any time. And the second one, my friend, gets a little easier. And I reckon when the third one gets there, they tell me they're made of rubber. But I'm telling you, it's a miracle. It's a miracle they ever make it to get grown. I mean, every time they fall on a bicycle, they could get killed. It ain't likely, but it has happened. Every time, my friend, if they make a run across the floor, they're in danger. I mean, hey, Brother William come in this morning, his boy's on crutches again. And I asked him, I said, what'd you do this time? He done broke his arm and all that kind of stuff. I thought he'd done been another terrible accident. Come find out, just got a sore hip, may have some other issues. But we're going to pray for his safety. Ain't that right? We're going to ask God to keep him safe. I mean, hey, what about some of you who's got some that's a little older, and you reach in your pocket, and you toss them the car keys? Buddy, you ought to know what it is to be able to weep for your children's safety. Amen. Hey, listen, I never will forget the first day of school, especially for my first one. I told you the first one's made of glass. And for the first day of school, for the first one, Sonia said, you want me to take her? I know you got her. I said, no, there ain't no way. You're not taking her. I'm going to take her myself. And then I did. I was worried about it. I took her to school the first day of kindergarten. And hey, I took her in the school and she was excited. She had her little backpack on, didn't have nothing in it. I ain't figured out yet why you send kids to school with a backpack that ain't got nothing in it. And they come home with a backpack that ain't got anything in it. But you got to go spend $30 on the backpack. That doesn't make any sense. But that's what we did. And so that's what you say you're supposed to do. And so she goes off to school and she gets out. I take her inside and listen. I got her in the classroom. She was so excited and happy and whatever. Man, I was busted all to pieces. I got down on my knees and where I could look at her eye to eye. I cried like a baby. I'm telling you, I wept a fountain of tears. I hugged her neck, kissed her, told her I love her. And she patted me on the head and she said, it'll be all right, Daddy. Don't cry. I mean, hey, I wondered who was a daddy and who was a little girl. But I'm going to tell you something. I weep for the safety of my children. It concerns me. We ought to care about our children enough to pray for them.
Every day we ought to pray for them. They ought to have weeping eyes and not dry eyes when it comes to our country, our companions, our children. I want to say we ought to have weeping eyes when it comes to our church.
We don't have weeping eyes when it comes to our church. How many days goes by that you go about your life and go about your business and you don't even think about or talk about or pray for or mention to the good Lord your church? What if every church member was just like you? What if every church member prayed for their church as much as you pray for your church? What if every church member we had prayed for their pastor as much as you pray for your pastor? Would he ever get prayed for? And I'm going to tell you something about your pastor that you may not know, and it's a secret between me and you. He needs a whole lot of praying for. And I appreciate everybody that prays for me. Amen. And listen, friend, you need to weep over your church. You need to weep for your church. We're true dry-eyed when it comes to our church and old time religion. I mean, hey, listen, we wait until we need something. We wait until we're in need, and then we think about the church. And then when we need something, it's where the church at. Where's the preacher at? Did somebody call the preacher? But yet, whenever you don't need anything, you hadn't even thought about it. It hadn't crossed your mind. I tell you, we're too dry when it comes to the church.
Amen.
I mean, hey, friend, you ought to weep, you ought to pray, you ought to call on God for your church. Like Esther, in the book of Esther, we're under assault. The old time religion's under assault from Satan and the world. And most of the churches, like Esther was, sitting up in the palace, primping in the mirror, fixing her hair. But it's time to get serious about weeping for our church. I wonder how many of you have wept or shed any tears over this revival meeting starting next Sunday. I wonder, hey, if you waited this long, you've already waited too late and you got a lot of catching up to do. And you ought to do a lot of weeping this week over the revival meeting.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. We ought to pray. We ought to pray for a brother. We ought to pray for one another. We ought to pray for our church. We should shed tears for our church's worship. I mean, we ought to shed tears for our worship at our church. I mean, how many of you come into service this morning? How many of you come into service this morning didn't even pray for this meeting this morning at all until you got here in the prayer room? Now listen, prayer room's good. I thank God that we meet before the service and get in the prayer room and have prayer. And I think that's so important and it's helpful. But how many of us, as the first time that you prayed about this meeting was when you got here in the prayer room? How many of you, my friend, didn't spend one moment during the week asking God to bless the services on Sunday? People are real quick to say, well, our church services ain't what they used to be. And I tell you, I liked it in Grandma's day when folks would shout and the preachers would preach and all this stuff. And hey, I remember them preachers couldn't read their name in boxcar letters. That they could preach in power of the Holy Ghost. That came from weeping during the week. If you don't weep during the week, you can't worship on the Lord's day. I tell you, if we want to power of God like they used to have, we're going to have prayer and weep again the week like they used to have. God help us to weep for our worship. Amen. We ought to weep over our worship. How many of you prayed for the singing this week? How many of you prayed for the choir? How many of you prayed for the congregational hymns? How many of you kind of walk out to service on Sunday afternoon and say, you know, I could pick out a better congregational hymn than what they did this week. Brother John needs to quit letting Brother TJ pick out them songs. He just don't get the right ones. And it's not firing people up. And it's not doing anything for anybody. And I don't know what we keep singing them same old songs out of that Red Book hymn for. I'm going to tell you what's the matter. It ain't the songs, and it's not the musicians, and it's not the song director. It's a lack of weeping during the week. It's dry eye. That's what's killing us. It's dry eye. I mean, listen, if you spend enough time weeping during the week and seeking God, we could get in here and get the three students just to sing Yankee Doodle Dandy and you get a spiritual charge out of it. Amen. I mean, hey, friend, you ought to spend some time weeping during the week. Hey, you're not going to come out of much more spiritual singing than what we have this morning. Somebody said, well, I like to hear old so-and-so's quartet sing. I'm going to tell you, there's not a commercial quartet on the planet that can sing like the church choir can sing when the Spirit of God comes on it. It ain't about the equipment. It's not about have my friend all the stuff and standing across the stage. It's not about all that Todd Hardy, though I like all that stuff. I tell you, it's about the power of God. It's about the Spirit of the Lord. Hey, my friend, I remember as a boy hearing Charlie Shirley say he'll roll me over the tide. He couldn't sing and he couldn't play the guitar, but over time he'd play the guitar and sing. Everybody would shout, amen. I tell you, it's because of weeping during the week. need to learn to weep for our worship. We ought to learn to weep for our work. We ought to learn to weep for our work, friend. Hey, friend, you ought to pray for the Sunday school ministries. Hey, you ought to pray for the officers of the church. I believe this afternoon the officers committee is going to meet. I'm fixing the mail here in just a minute. And I'm probably going to preach longer than what she wants me to. She might ought to weep now. Amen. Hear me, the officers committee is going to meet this afternoon. Brother Charles, Brother Bob, and Brother John don't know about this. Brother Scott and I discussed it earlier in the week. And I was going to mention them today, but I'll just preach it to you. Amen. I gave him a little bit of a charge this week. I have some things that I want to get accomplished in the church. There's some things I want done. As it pertains to Sunday school, I want to make sure we set aside 2 months and during the year where the teachers can take off and sit in the classes and where the assistants can take out of their class and sit under the adult class. And now hear me when I tell you something, friend. And this year we may take, and Brother John's month off, and the adult class will be different than all the others because I want these other teachers to get to hear him teach for a month. But hear me now. We've got the best adult Sunday school teacher this side of the Mississippi River. I've heard all of them. I've heard the fancy boys. I've heard all the PhDs. I've heard the pastors teach Sunday school. Listen, some of the worst teaching I ever heard in my life in Sunday school was pastors teaching Sunday school. Hey, I've heard all of it. I've been over 300 or 400 churches. I've heard Sunday school teaching all over the place. Some of it like Chinese water torture. But we have got a wonderful adult Sunday school teacher. And some of you have been teaching Sunday school 5, 6, 8, 10 years or so. And you need to sit for a year and soak. I mean, you need to soak. You need to gather in some stuff. Some of you hadn't been doing nothing. And you need to work. I mean, it's like folks going to a football game. 80,000 people desperately needing exercise. Showing up to watch 22 men who desperately need rest. I'm playing ball down the field. I mean, sometimes them folks in the field need to get in the stands. And somebody in the stand need to get in the field. Hey, man, that's right. I've charged them with some things I want to get done. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You need to weep that God would have his way in it. This officers committee needs to take their work by prayer and not just my friend by intellect. And we need to pray God it would direct them. We need to pray God would help them. And hey, friend, we need to pray that when we take a commitment to complete a work of an office in the church, you need to take it seriously. And not only do your work, but pray about your work.
Amen.
Amen. Preachers ought to weep over their preaching. Teachers ought to weep over their teaching, and deacons ought to weep over their deacon. Amen. Y'all pray about your job and your church. Y'all weep over it. Amen. We got some people around here that just works on a little bit of everything. And we got some folks don't do much of nothing. Amen. I told Brother Scott the other night, I said, Matthew's been a whipping boy for me now for 12 years. I mean, everything I need, I just put him to work on it. I mean, it don't matter. Hey, it don't matter if it's something in the church service. You need somebody to direct the song. Ain't nobody else here to do it. He'll do it. You need somebody to play the drums. He'll do it. You need somebody to shut the door. He'll do it. You need somebody to kill lamps. He'll do it. You need somebody to fix the plumbing. He'll do it. You need somebody to dig a hole. He'll do it. You need to have a work day. He's first in here. Hard, works harder than everybody else. I tell you, he works harder than everybody else. And then he's the last one to leave and drives everybody crazy in the process. I'm telling you, listen to me. Hey, I mean, friend, he'll do anything that you ask him to do. But I'm going to tell you something. Every time a hole needs digging, Matthew ought not to have to dig every hole. Charles ought not to have to dig every hole. That's right, ain't it? I mean, friend, hey, every time the door needs shutting, Brother Jeff ought not to have to get up and get it. He don't mind doing it. I'm not saying that. But we all need to pray and be concerned about the work of the church. You need to weep over the work of the church. You ought to weep for the Sunday school, the prison ministry. Do you pray for these men? Brother Matthew and I and our prison preachers we support by my friend, our missionary offerings. Do you pray for us when we go to prison? Do you realize most of the time we're dealing with violent, convicted felons? Do you pray for us when we go to prison? I mean, you ought to weep over the prison ministry. You ought to weep over my friend the preaching. You don't think I do too good at preaching? I wonder how good at praying you do. Don't weep because of the preaching. Weep over the preaching. Amen. That Ronnie Simpson said he's in a meeting and his wife sat back there. The preacher come to her after service and said, "Ma'am, I'm going to tell you something, Sister Simpson." Says, I appreciate you. Said, from the moment your husband began to read his scripture and he began to preach, you sat back here and wept through the whole sermon. Said, "I don't see many preachers' wives really getting their husband preaching like that." She said, "Listen, preacher, if you'd heard that sermon as many times as what I have, you'd have been crying about it too." And I don't mean that kind of weeping over my preaching. But you ought to weep over the preaching of the church. Yeah, you ought to listen. You ought to pray for evangelists. You ought to weep for evangelists whenever they leave out Brother Scott and Brother Thomas, Brother Matthew, when they leave and go preach for another church, you ought to weep for them and pray God help them. You ought to weep for the people across the pew from you and for their families. You ought to pray for the ministry in their homes. Amen. You ought to pray with and for one another. You ought to weep for our missionaries. Yes, you ought to pray for Brother William Bourne and Brother Osnail. You ought to pray for Brother Jesse Natrum. You ought to pray for these preachers up in our family in Alaska and the Philippines. You ought to pray for these fellows that we support. You ought to pray for these up in our family stateside, these prison preachers. You ought to pray, God, and help them. You pray for Brother Michael Dollars. He tries to pastor a church part-time and preach 35, 40 weeks of revival a year. Stay wrung out most of the time. You ought to pray for Brother Terry Pace. You ought to pray for these men that God helped them. Amen. Weep over them. Yeah. We ought to weep. We're too dry. Yeah. I'm going to say this morning we ought to weep for the careless. Did you know many people don't even consider God? They don't even consider their souls or their need to be saved. And we ought to weep to God that they might become concerned for their souls. We, my friend, listen, every one of us got family members like this. They're so busy living their lives. They're so busy enjoying their days. They're so busy doing their work that they've not even gotten concerned about their souls. They don't weep for their own souls. Do you? I mean, if they won't weep, will we? If they won't pray, will we pray? If they won't see God, if they won't get concerned, will you get concerned?
Right. Amen.
We ought to pray for the careless that they'd get concerned. We ought to pray for the careless that they would get curious. Ask God that they'd become curious. If you're lost this morning and concerned, you should at least come to the altar now and again or shake the preacher's hand time and again just to let God know you're still interested. Amen. He could write you off. You ought to weep over the careless. You ought to weep over the calloused. There are some that have sat in pews, these pews, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and they're callous. They've heard preaching, they've heard the songs, they've heard the altar call, and they go through the services and it don't even bother them, and some of these callous people are our children.
You're right.
And that ought to break our hearts.
Yes, sir.
Some of them have said, some of you that saved have gotten so callous to preaching.
Right.
I can preach my guts out. I can preach till I'm sore from my toenails to the top of my hair. I mean, I can preach till I'm sore all over and dripping wet with sweat, and you sit on the pews callous and unconcerned. It doesn't even bother you. It does not even stir a burden in your heart. It does not stir joy in your soul. I mean, you can't be touched, my friend, with any sort of preaching or with any song or with any testimony. Weep for the calloused. I want to say, friend, we ought to weep for the convicted. Weep for those that are convicted but have not been converted. It's so sad to watch somebody get under the burden of conviction. Know that sin is real to them and the judgment of God is dangling over their heads and hell is staring them in the face. I tell you, it ought to cause us to weep unto God that the Lord would give them relief in Jesus.
Amen.
Ask God to give them faith to believe and space to repent. Now, I'm done preaching this morning. I want you to come with a psalm. I'm going to say we've become too dry-eyed. And it's time we have weeping eyes again. Those of us who know Christ have become too dry-eyed as it pertains to tears of joy. Think today where you are right now and where you could be. Where you were before God found you and saved you, put you in this good way. Oh, I bless His name. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Every tear is not shed with a burden. Some tears are shed because the burdens are gone. Bless His name. Thank God that I'm saved. And I want everybody else to be saved as well. Lord, let me never become like Ezekiel, who lost his ability to weep. Ezekiel 24:16, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shall thou weep nor mourn, neither shall thy tears run down. Oh, Psalm 126:5 said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You see, the lesson is, if we weep, we'll reap. And if we don't, we won't. And so, God, help us not to be dry-eyed, but to do as a prophet. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water. Give us weeping eyes again. And break our hearts, giving us tender hearts. Once more, I pray you stand with us, if you will. If you need to talk to the Lord this morning, now we should come. We should come this morning. If you need to talk to the Lord, Lord, break my heart. Lord, give me a burden for my family. God, give me tears in my eyes again. Oh, God, give me a tender heart for sinners. Give me a tender heart towards the commandment of the Savior. Oh God, help me humble myself and become like a little child. Oh God. Oh, that my head were a fountain of waters. Oh, my eyes a river of tears. My. Others are praying, some are weeping. If you need to talk to the Lord, I wish you'd come this morning. Come through here and save Brother Brock. He told me, he told me before he ever got saved, he says, preacher, if I do get saved now, he says, I won't never cry like all them other people does. He said, that's what sissies do and that's what little girls do. He says, I've always been taught men don't cry like that. He said, I won't ever cry like all them other people does. And then here a while back, I talked to him, and he said this a lot of times. He said, preacher, you know, ever since the Lord saved me, he said, all I can do is cry. And his heart just stays broke, and just start preaching a little bit, singing a little bit of Amazing Grace, and he just starts weeping. The Lord just breaks his heart. I'm going to tell you, God will put us, He'll take out of you that old stony heart and put inside your heart a flesh and one of love. I'm going to tell you, thank God, He'll give you tenderness. And my friend, let you weep again. Thank God for weeping eyes. Thank God for every tear that is shed for me. Amen. Thank God for weeping eyes. I wonder, friend, if you've been obedient to the Lord this morning in this meeting, done everything the Holy Spirit would have you to do in the service today. I've tried to be obedient to the Lord. I preached a lot longer than I intended to this morning. I'd committed to myself I wasn't going to preach past 15 after. But then when Brother John and them started it at 7 minutes after 11, I knew that wasn't going to work. I tried to tell him to get done with it. I was going to preach long. Didn't I, Brother John? I told you that. I said, to get on with it now, I'm going to preach long. I'm glad I'm saved. I don't preach long as a preacher try to make your roast burn or so that your dinner get cold at the house. But I tell you, I appreciate God helping me this morning. I appreciate God helping me preach. It's not just my wife. Sometimes I worry about a lot of you. The other night I was talking to Miss Ginger. I told her, I said, I've been preaching to her and Brother John. I've been preaching to them now since 92. I mean, they've heard everything I know. I've already told them everything I know. And they keep coming back and hearing me again and again. I told her, I said, must it be because y'all love me a lot, because you done heard everything I know. She said, all my memory's not too good. I don't remember most of what you told me to start with. But I appreciate it. I get concerned. I pray, Brother John. Some of y'all have heard me preach so much, I get concerned. Sometimes I think, well, I need to resign, let somebody else pastor the church, because what I've already told them so much, the same stuff is going to get stale. And their spirituality will get hurt. And it concerns me, and I pray that God would give me fresh oil. And then when the Lord helps me preach, I thank Him so much for that privilege. He don't have to let me preach, Brother Thomas, but when He lets me preach, I thank Him for that privilege. And I don't try to wear on your patience. I don't try to just preach as long as I can and see how I can show out. But I'm so glad. You don't know the thrill that comes in my heart when the Spirit of God helps me to be able to preach and to pray that God would impart something unto me that would help you along this way. I appreciate the Lord. I tell you, I'm glad I'm His and He's mine. Well, every heart and mind satisfied, you've been obedient to the Lord this morning. Thank God. I hope you'll come back tonight with a tender heart, receptive to what the Lord wants you to do. And if you need to testify, I wish you'd testify. And if you need to shout, I sure wish you'd shout. And if you need to cry, I wish you'd just cry. I'd like to hear Brother John get tore up and get on the floor and boohoo tonight. Boy, it hit me. That thrills my heart. Amen. I'd like to hear somebody tell how it was the Lord came by when they was on their way to hell to breakneck speed and brought them out of sin and put the joy of the Lord down inside. Amen. Bless His name. You don't never know if it gets slammed by the banks, we might get the tubs out and wash one another's feet. Somebody said that'd be completely out of order. Not when the Holy Ghost come along. You think you wouldn't even like that business. I remember some of these ladies around here said they wouldn't like it. The first time we had foot washing. And then some of them never did get in to get on it. But some of them others that said they wouldn't like it none, they sure looked like they was liking it with both hands up in the air, shouting, screaming the way they was. Looked like they'd liking it pretty good to me. I tell you, God can do some things in our lives if we'll be tender hearted. And let Him work. Let Him work. All right. Fellowship one with another. You can be dismissed. I appreciate you coming. Amen. Amen. Don't get in a hurry. Hang around.